Samuel chapter 30. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 to 8. The title of my message this morning is Knocked Down But Not Out. Knocked Down But Not Out. In our lives, sometimes we get knocked down a bit. Amen? That's right. Sometimes in our lives we get knocked down a bit. Fights come our way that seem to knock us on our very knees or even flat on our backs. However, the outcome of the fight isn't just determined when you're standing. A lot of times the outcome of the fight will be determined by when you're on the ground. You say, well, how is that? You know, whenever I was little, maybe y'all was kind of the same way, but whenever I was little, as a little boy growing up, I don't know how many pair of pants I had, but I know that just about every one I had patches in them. I don't know if y'all had anything like that, but my mom and dad, we didn't really buy a whole lot of new pair of pants, so whenever I was always on my knees all the time, crawling around on my knees, falling on my knees. I mean, you know, I was just being a little boy, and instead of going to buy a new pair of pants, we didn't do that. My mom, she'd just get patches, and sometimes I had patches overlaid with patches, you know. I mean, that's just the way it was. I spent a lot of time on my knees. But you know what? A lot of your victory in your life and things that come up in your life, that's victory. The winner isn't just determined by when you're standing. A lot of times winning is going to be determined by when you're wearing out your knees. Wearing out your knees. Let your knees be so worn out that you have to have patches on your knees to, you know, and have that frame of thought. And so the winner isn't just the one that's standing. Sometimes being the victor will be won when you're down. And I'll explain a little bit more about that here in just a few minutes. But when we're knocked down in life, when we're knocked down, we have a decision to make. We're going to say this. Are we going to stay down or are we going to go one more round? Are we going to stay down or are we going to go one more round? One boxing fighter said this. He said, to become a champion, fight one more round. To become a champion, fight one more round. Jack Dempsey, who was a world heavyweight champion for 7 years, said this. He said, a champion is someone who gets up when he can't. Someone who gets up when he can't. And there come things in our life where we feel like, you know what? I just don't think I can get up anymore. I just don't think I can go one more round. I just don't think that I can do this today. Well, are you going to be a champion in your life? If you want to be a champion in your life, a champion is someone who will be willing to go one more round. And you know where that decision is made? When you're knocked down. When you're knocked down. Because when you get knocked down, you have a decision to make. A conscious decision to make. While I'm down here, am I going to get up and go one more time? That's why I said the winner is not always determined by the one that's standing, but the winner could be determined by the one that's on the ground. Am I going to go one more round? Because that's where champions are made. That's where champions are born. Even champions themselves have been knocked down on the ground, and that's why they say when you get knocked down, you have to decide. A champion is being born out of a person who will say, I will go one more round. A person who will say, I will go one more round when I don't feel like I can go one more round. When I feel like I can't get up. When the fights come our way and we're knocked down our knees, we must say to ourselves, I may be knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. I may be knocked down in my life, but I am not knocked out in my life because within me, I have the fight and the spirit to go one more round. And that's what you have to have in your life. Champions are made and born of people who will have the spirit within themselves not to give up and not to default, but to go one more round, to determine themselves, I may be knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. In boxing, there's what they have called going the distance. You ever heard of that? Going the distance. In boxing, the terminology, that's what they call it, going the distance. You know, just being able to go as long as you can with some of the toughest competitors. Taking the fight from the beginning all the way to the end. That's going the distance. Well, let me ask you this morning. In your life, can you honestly, as you look at your life, can you say that what I'm doing right now in my life is I'm going the distance? That I'm going the distance. No matter what it is, it's knocked you down. See, when these things come up, we have to look at it and we say, you know what? You may have knocked me down, but I'm going to go the distance with you. I'm going to go the distance with you. Well, I'm going to go the distance against that. I'm going to go the distance against that. It could be, you know, the things that health problems, the things that come up in our life. You know, we have to have a spirit about ourselves. You know what? So far, praise the Lord, I haven't had anything serious come in my life. But, you know, the time may come when I do. And I'll pray and hope that when that day comes, that I will have that spirit within myself that I will say, you know what? This may have me down. But I'm going to go the distance with this. I'm going to go the distance with this. Not only if it's health, but whatever it is that could be facing you in your life. You have to look at the problem, look at the issue at hand and say, you know what? You may have hurt me. You may have got me down, but I am going to fight and I will go one more round and I will go the distance. A winner is not just the one who wins, but the one who decides to keep going after they get knocked down. And so I'm telling you today that if you've ever been knocked down, you need to declare yourself, I may be knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. I'm not knocked out. Because you know what? You may go one more round. And you know what? That one more round may be all that's needed for you to win. That one more round may be all that's needed for you to be the victor in your life. Now, I want to share with you this morning three truths from the Word of God. Three truths from the Word of God on lessons learned while being knocked down, but not out. Let's look at verses 1 to 3. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 to 3. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive." At this point in David's life, there were many things that I'm sure that he had wished had went a different way, that he had wished had turned out differently. David, even at this point in his life, was on the run from his own king who didn't like him and sought to slay him because of his jealousy that he had toward David. And so David was this man who once sat at the king's table was now a man who was on the run from his own king and could not even have fellowship with his own Jewish brothers, and he was unwelcome in his own country. And so David at this point had a lot of things that was going on in his life. He had some people that didn't like him. He had men that didn't like him. He had a king that didn't like him. And so he had tremendous things that was going on in his life. And inside of him, there was an emptiness that probably seemed to be there, a void that seemed to be there, because so many things had happened to him in his life. And so that's where David was at even prior to chapter 30, verse 1. That's where David was at even prior to this. And so David, what he was doing is he was dwelling in this land here of Ziklag, in the land of the Philistines, which was his enemies to begin with. And he was dwelling there. And has it ever seemed sometimes that you ever, maybe it seems like you may be dwelling amongst enemies? That's where David was. He was dwelling amongst enemies. He said, you know, I may be dwelling amongst enemies. There may be there was people in the land that he was living that didn't even like him, that didn't even care about him. The place that he called home, he was having a problem getting along with people because they didn't like him. Even his dwelling place, the place that he called home. But not only that, the place that he did call home, people didn't like him. The king hated him. He couldn't even go back home. And so David was a very lonely man. And as you read the book of Psalms, you can see the Psalms that he pours out in his heart in the book of Psalms and how he talks about, you know, how he just you can see David's trust and his faith and his leaning against God. But not only that, but you can see how this man, when he poured his heart out in the book of Psalms, you can see all these things that he laid out to God. God, you know, these people are against me. Lord, you know, he talks about how hurt he is and how sorrowful he is and all these kinds of things. And he just goes to God in prayer about all these things. And so David was going through a very tough time, a very hard time in his life. And the last thing that he needed was something like this to come up. The last thing that he needed was something like this to come up because he had made a friend. He had made one friend amongst the Philistines. And the Philistines said, and this Philistine man, he was a king, and he was the king of Gath, but the other kings that were in the area, they said, you know what? David here, he's a Hebrew, he's a Jew, he don't even belong here. Well, see, David was having a problem belonging, even in his own home. He didn't belong in his own home. He didn't belong here in the land of his enemies. He didn't seem to belong anywhere. And sometimes in our lives, that's kind of how we feel sometimes. We can't find somewhere for us to belong. We can't find somewhere, for us to go. Everywhere we go, we just feel like this emptiness, this void, all these battles and things we're having that we fight in our lives, and we just seem to be so empty. And that's how David was. That's how David was at this point. And even though he had made friends with this one king, all the other ones said, you know what, he's a Hebrew, he don't belong here, so let's kick him out. You need to get rid of him. So the king comes up to him and he says, all right, David, he said, you know, you've been a good man. He said, love you, brother, you've been great, but all these other guys, they have a problem with you. And so the best thing you need to do is probably just need to go back to Ziklag. That's what you need to do. So David says, fine. So he packs everything up and he starts heading back. Well, whenever he comes back to the city, as he's on his way back to Ziklag, he can smell something. And he's like, guys, y'all smell that? Y'all smell that? What is that? It smells like smoke. Well, as they get a little bit closer, they can see fumes of smoke that's coming up over the hilltop there. And so they probably begin to look at each other thinking, hey guys, that's where home is. That's where everything that we care about is. And so as they go over the hilltop and they get down there, they see everything that they have has been burned up. Everything that has been burned up. And so they get down into the city. Imagine yourself how you would be if you was coming to your house and you knew that your family was there and everything that you had was there and you was on your way home and your house was on fire. Imagine how you would be. And so here David and his 600 men, they're coming home and they see all this. And so they go, rushing into the city, running into the city. But you know what? They don't see anything and they don't find anything. They don't see no little kids running around. They don't see their wives. They don't see none of these things. The place is empty. There's no noise. There's no nothing except for the fire that's burning their homes. At this point in David's life, everything that he's already been through, this is the last thing that he needs. You know that? And sometimes it seems like in our life we're going through things and they just come, just like this. And we just get to the point, and you say, this is the last thing I need right now. This is the last thing I need. Well, that's where David was at. This is the last thing I need. And I want you to notice what the Bible says happened when this happened in his life. And this will bring us to our first truth. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and they wept until they had no more power to weep. No more power to weep. And so as David come in and he saw all these things and there was no children and there was no evidence of their wives and everything that they had was gone. And he had already up to this point had such a huge void in his life and in his heart. And this was the last thing that he needed in his life. And I imagine he was probably thinking, you know what, Lord? This one little spot on this earth that I had, this one little thing that I had, this one little city amongst people that don't even like me here, amongst people that don't care for me over there, this one little spot that I could call home, and now it's gone too. Yeah. This is the last thing that he needed, and this is what he was going through, and this is what he saw. And the Bible says there in verse 4 that when he got there, that they lifted up their voices and they wept until they had no more power to weep. In other words, they cried and cried and cried and cried until they just couldn't cry no more. Ever been like that? Yeah. Man, hard times came and things come up, and you just cried and wept and cried and wept until you just could not cry no more. And so the first truth is, being knocked down brings sorrow to our lives. You believe that? Sometimes when we get knocked down, it brings sorrow, doesn't it? It sure does. And that's exactly what happened here to David. Sorrow came into his life because of all these things that took place. And he cried and he cried. Why? Because his family was not there. His wives were taken captive. Everything that he had was now gone. Not only his, but those of the people that he cared about, the men that were with him, they were all gone too. And so sorrow, being knocked down, brings sorrow in our lives. They cried until they couldn't cry anymore. You know, I've learned in my Christian life that God has a way of allowing things to happen in our lives to teach us important lessons. I've learned that. God has a way of allowing things to come into our lives to teach us important lessons. And bringing sorrow in our lives really has a way of humbling us. It has a way of bringing us, to the point to where we stop looking at ourselves and we start looking at God. It has a way of bringing us to a point that we stop trusting in ourselves and everything else and just put our trust in Him. Sorrow has a way of doing these things. And I've learned in my life that God has brought things in my life, and I've learned in the lives of others by testimonies from other folks as well, that they acknowledge that when God brought sorrow into their lives, it was the one thing that turned their face toward God. It was the one thing that God could bring their way to turn their faces towards Him. And though all of us would love, I'm sure, all of us would love this morning to live a life of sunshine every day. We would love that. That sounds so pleasing. That sounds so great. To just live a life of sunshine every day. But we must also understand that a life of sunshine every day makes for a barren desert. Makes for a barren desert. If it never rained, nothing would ever grow. Amen? That's exactly right. If it never rained, nothing would ever grow. And though we may love the sunshine and all, we have fun in the sunshine, and man, it is so great, but we have to understand that we never grow and nothing ever grows unless it rains. Unless it rains. And so sometimes I believe that God brings these things into our life to help us grow a little bit. Help us grow a little bit. See, we always look on the terrible dark side, dreary side of everything. But to every dark, dreary side, there is another side. There is another side. And that is the side that we have to look at. That's the side we have to pay more attention to and give more focus on. If it never rained, we would never grow. There was a woman one day. She was married. Her husband left her. She had two children, a boy, little boy and a little girl. Her husband left her. Economy was getting bad. He said, "You know what? I just can't take care of you guys no more. So it's just time for me to leave." And so he left. Left his wife, left his little boy, left his little girl, left, never heard from him again. He was gone. So as far as I know, they never heard from him again. He's gone. And so here she is, struggling with her little boy and her little girl, doing everything that she can to take care of them. Well, then she develops a disease. She develops a disease that puts her in the bed. She can't get up. She can't walk around. She can't do nothing. She is bedfast. She can't do anything. She's having a hard time. Well, then her daughter gets a disease as well. Well, she gets sick, and this disease not long kills her. She's gone. At the funeral, she can't even go see her child in the casket. She has to be carried by the ushers over there so they can see her daughter laying there in the casket. The pastor's up front, and he says, "How?" And he's seeing all this. He knows what this woman's been through, and he says, "How in the world am I ever going to, what words can I say to comfort this woman with everything she's been through? Her husband's left her. She's lost all she had. She's got this crippling disease now. Now her child's gone. How am I going to come up with the words to help this lady? What in the world can I say that will help this woman to understand that she is not alone? What can I say to this woman that will help to lift her up in the dark side of all this? What can I say to this woman? This woman has been knocked down. I mean, she has been knocked down to her knees. What can I say to this woman that will help her?" And as he walks over there and he's praying about this, Lord, you're going to have to help me. Give me the words to say. Give me the right words to say. And so he walks over there and she says the first words. And she says, "You know, Pastor, though all I've been through, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." He never had to say a word. She already understood that even though she had been knocked down, she was not going to declare herself knocked out. Even though she could not get up, even though she physically could not get up, she was going to say, she was declaring to herself, I'm going one more round. I'm going one more round. I'm going one more round. She said, Pastor, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. She said, Jesus said, I'll never leave you comfortless. He said, I'll be there in your trials and tribulations. And she said, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And she said, I understood those things. And the pastor never had to say a word. Why? Because she had already declared within herself, I'm going one more round. No matter what. I'm not giving up. No matter what, I'm not stopping. I am going one more round. And that's what we have to determine in our lives. Man, go one more round. Go one more round. Because you never know. That one more round just may be the round that you win. The round that you win. The round that you get the victory. And she cried and cried and cried, just as many of us, in our problems and our tribulations and our trials of cried as well. But you know, I think I found something interesting in the Word of God dealing with this situation, Psalm 56, verse 8. And it says this, when David was crying, and now going through all these things in his life, David said, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? And I thought, you know what? How amazing it is that it seems that the teaching that we have here is that God in heaven, the illustration that we see here is that God in heaven sees the volume of tears that we cry in our lives. He said, put my tears in thy bottle. And so it's like he's saying, God, I know. You know that all the tears that I've cried. They're there in that bottle in heaven. You know every single tear that I've cried over this one thing. You know every single tear that I've cried over everything. It's in your bottle, Lord. You know the volume of it. And not only that, but he said, put them in your book. So not only could God see the tears and know the tears and the volume of the tears that he had cried in his situation, but God had a record of it. And he says, I know you've been crying about this. And I know you've been crying about that. I know you've been going through this. I know you've been upset about that. I know you've been fighting this. I know you've been battling that. Man, what an awesome illustration we see that God knows our tears. That God knows our tears. And that's what David needed in his life. He needed to cry out to a God that knew what he was going through. A God that could help him. A God that could give him the comfort that he needed in his life. Look at verse 5 and 6. Look what the Bible says. And as all these things was going on, as they was crying, the Bible says they had no more power to weep. Man, they was crying. They cried till they couldn't cry no more. And the Bible says there in verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. The second truth is, being knocked down brings stress in our lives. You know, being knocked down brings sorrow in our lives, and being knocked down also brings stress in our lives. Ain't that what the Bible says there in verse 6? The Bible says that David was greatly distressed. Greatly distressed. All this was going on, and he was greatly distressed in his lives. He was sorrowful, and he was stressed out to the max. Because of all the stuff that happened previously in his life and all these things that had built up even till now. Now his home's gone. His wives are gone. All these things that have happened. And he is greatly distressed in his life. And there's one thing for sure, that when we get knocked down in our lives, it brings tremendous stress in our lives. And the Amalekites brought it to David in several ways. One, they brought it. He was stressed out about his family. David was stressed out about his family. Two, he was worried about the families of the other men. He says, what about families of the other men? Three, the people became angry at David. David was stressed out, not because everything else had happened in his life, but now his wife was gone, his family was gone. The wives and those of the people that he knew, they were all gone. And now the people were talking about stoning him. They were talking about stoning David. What did David have to do with it? What did he have to do with all that? And now the people are talking about stoning David. David wasn't even there. He didn't have nothing to do with it. He lost just as much as they did. But now all the people want to, now they're all wanting to, they're talking about just getting together and congregating, thinking about stoning David. You know, I've also learned that in our sorrow and in our stress, we often turn on people for no reason. You know that? That's exactly what happens. Sometimes we turn on those who are just the closest one by. And they have nothing to do with it. And that's exactly what happened here. David didn't have nothing to do with this. But sometimes we turn on folks whom we really love and care about, because these men love David. Because not only, because see, these men were with David. Well, they had a choice to be with David. They didn't have to be there with him. These men were with him. These 600 men, they were with him because they already loved him. And David was on the run, and these men were on the run with him. But why? Because they cared about him. Because they loved him. But even though they loved him, they cared for him, they fought for him, they obeyed his command as a king, they turned on him in the midst of stress. In the midst of stress. They turned on him. And so David was stressed out about a great many things. About a great many things. And I believe all of us in our lives, can also attest to that fact. The Bible says that the people were grieved. Why did they turn on David? Because they were distressed. The people were grieved. And sometimes when we get knocked down, you know, we have the attitude that whoever's the closest by is the one that's going to get it. Whoever's the one that's closest by me today is the one that's fixing to get it. And that's the attitude that we have sometimes. Sometimes it's whoever's the closest. Sometimes it's difficult when we've been knocked down to think clearly. You know that? When we've been knocked down, it's difficult to think clearly. And I believe that's what these folks was happening here. And so what is the lesson we can learn from this? Well, look what David did in the last part of the verse. Even though he was sorrowful, he had cried until he couldn't cry no more. Even though he was greatly distressed, look at the last part of this verse. Notice what the Bible says. It says, but David did what? He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's what made the difference. That's what makes the difference. That's what made the difference in his life. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Even though he was going through all these things, even though he was sorrowful and cried until he couldn't cry no more, even though he was greatly distressed about not just one thing, but a great number of things. But what brought him the victory in his life is when he, even though he was greatly distressed, even though he was sorrowful, and even though he was stressed, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Man, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And so out of the sorrow and stress, David gathered his composure together. Out of all this, there had to be some point. And when he got to this point, he could hear all this stuff coming from the people. Man, the people wanting to kill me now. And I don't even understand why. I didn't have nothing to do with it. And all this stuff was gone. And his wives was gone. And nobody cares for me. And nobody likes me. And I'm just better off be dead. And all this. And all these things just going on in his mind. He had a lot going on. But David stopped and he said, you know what? And we all have this moment in our lives too. He stopped. And he said, you know what? Despite everything, he had to come to grips. He had to just, sometimes, you know, you just got to, you get so chaotic in your life and you get so, you know, like this, you know what I'm saying? There comes a point where you have to say, okay, stop. Everything, just calm down. And you have to calm yourself down and you say, okay, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. And David said, what I need to do is I need to go to God about this. And so the Bible says that he was encouraged in his life because he went to the Lord. He was encouraged in his life because he went to God about what was going on. And so that's what he did. He stopped, he gathered his composure together, He put aside everything that was going on, and he says, okay, what I need to do is I need to go to God about this. And you know, it's those that walk with God, those that pray to God, and those that read the Word of God, those are the ones that discover the spiritual strength that God has to give them to go one more round. He would have never went one more round if he would have never encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what he would have done? He would have stopped, he would have quit, he would have packed up and went, he wouldn't have done anything. He had just stayed where he was at. He would have done nothing. But because he was encouraged in the Lord, because he went to God about it, because he encouraged himself in the Lord, he found the strength to go one more round. One more round. One more round. And that's what we got to do in our lives, is to go one more round. And where do we find that strength at? Man, we go to God, and God gives us that strength that we need in our lives, and he lifts us up and he builds us up and gives us that strength to go one more round. One more round. And this brings us to our third truth, and we'll be done. The third truth is, being knocked down brings spirituality in our lives. It brings sorrow in our lives. It brings spirituality in our lives, and it brings stress in our lives, and it brings spirituality in our lives. Look at verse 7 and 8. That's what he says. David went to God, and the Bible says, verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And so he went to God about it. Man, David went to God about this thing. And God said, you know what? That's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to go after them. And when you go after them, you're going to get back everything that you lost. All these things that they took away from you, you're going to get it back. Payday was coming. Payday was coming. And they were going to get what they were going to get, what they deserved. And David was going to get back everything that he lost. And so David came before God, and he asked for God's direction. He asked for God's guidance. And he was encouraged in the Lord when he went to God in prayer. When he went to God, he was encouraged. He asked for guidance. He asked for direction. And when we've been knocked down, one of the first things that we should do is this very thing. This very thing. Man, when we get knocked down, one of the very first things that we should do is go to God about it. Why? Because we are encouraged. We are encouraged when we go to Him. We are lifted up and given the spiritual strength that we need. And so he was told that he would get everything that he lost. Look at verse 9, we'll read that one. So David went. Now, you know, I love those first three words. God told him to go, and you know what he did? The Bible says it's the next. God said, you go and you'll recover all. You know what David did? The first three words in verse 9, so David went. David went. David went. That's what going one more round does. One more round involves going and doing and fighting. He said, go recover all that you, go and recover everything. And so the Bible says that David went. He went. And so by saying that he went, we see David's faith. We see that he had the fight and the spirit within himself, the strength to go one more round. David said, I'm not giving up on myself. He said, I'm not giving up on my family. I'm not giving up on my God. And so the Bible says that he went. He went. And look at verse 18. We'll be done. Verse 18. And the Bible says, verse 18, after he had done went after these folks, the Bible says, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And so when David demonstrated his faith, when David demonstrated that he was going to go one more round, it was then that he was able to recover everything that he had lost. Some could say, well, you know what? What's the whole point in this? I mean, you know, God already knew what was going to happen. God already knew what was going to take place. While David was off of here, it wasn't like, you know, God saw all these people coming, and he saw all them coming down here to take his family. He saw them all coming down here to take everything he had. And God already knew what was going to happen, so why did God even allow it to begin with? If he already knew it was going to happen, he already knew he was going to give David the victory, what is the point? Why did he allow it to happen? Simple. Simple. If God never let it rain, we would never grow. If God never let it rain, we'd never grow it. And though there may be some other things about it as well that, you know, of course, I wouldn't know. God knows. But the basic principle is if it doesn't rain, things don't grow. And sometimes it just needs to rain in our lives. And when it rains, let me ask you this. You get up in the morning, you're getting ready to go to work. You get up in the morning and you're putting on, getting ready. And you, what's one of the first things that you do when you roll out of bed? Look outside and see what the weather's like. Is it rain today or is it sunshine today? Oh, that's going to determine that what you're going to wear, you know. So you open up the curtain and you look outside and you say, okay, it's raining. Yeah. And that's normal. When it rains, man, it's normal to feel that way. But you know what? Our day is what we make out of it, you know. Just because it's raining doesn't mean we have to act like it's raining, you know. Doesn't mean that it has to rain in our lives, and you know, on the inside. And the rain, even the rain itself is kind of depressing sometimes. But you know what? It's also joy in it. Sometimes, have you ever been sitting inside or looking out the window or just watching the rain, just looking at the rain, listening to how it sounds when it hits the ground or it hits the roof or something like that. Yeah, there's beauty in that as well. Outside in the rain in the summertime. Yeah, see, it's all in how we look at it. It's all about perception. Now, how are you going to look at it? Oh, it's raining. Yeah, well, yeah, it is, but you know what? We can make the best out of the rain. And so we understand that it's sometimes not exactly what we want, but things don't grow unless it rains. And if it's sunshine every day, everything's just going to die out. And that's how we would too. We'd die out on the inside. Die out on the inside. Man, so look at the rain in your life as a way for you to grow spiritually. As a way for you to grow spiritually. You look at it and you say, okay, God, what can you teach me out of this? What can you show me out of this? How can I grow? How can I become a better Christian and a stronger Christian out of what's happening and taking place right now? And that's what we need to do in our lives. I'll finish with this quote. One famous boxer said this. He said, I hated every minute of training, but I said to myself, suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion. So how are you going to live the rest of your life? Are you going to live the rest of your life as a champion? And when you get knocked down, just remember, don't stay knocked out. There's always one more round. One more round. One more round. Stand if you would.